And our theme wrapping up right there with Larry Rezavi and his Out of Town Checks. Our theme, Musicians Come and Play, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, program number 412 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 on your HD2 dial, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're at 26 degrees here in central Minnesota, cloud cover, overcast skies here in central Minnesota. Coming up on 13 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, we have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line right now and bring him in. Say good morning to Mr. Gary Brigham. Gary, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Cy. How are you, and how are things out in Minnesota?
Well, we're still here. Everything is good these days. We're kind of treading water here in this winter of 2022, looking for warmer things to come. It's been a pretty steady winter up here. How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been, pretty steady down here. It's been cold, and then you have those warm days, and then yesterday was kind of a slop with the rain, and then nice temperatures. We still have some snow on the ground in our yard here, and we didn't get that much rain, thank goodness. So it wasn't like a heavy, quick thaw. It's going to be a nice slow thaw. Today is freezing again, so that'll be good and slow things down a little bit.
Well, that's great, and that's what we always hope for. Doesn't always happen that way. We've had a couple of teaser days up here where we maybe got into the 40s or so. I don't think we've had a 50 yet, but a couple of 40s, but not much sun when we had those warmer temperatures. So snow hasn't thawed a whole bunch here yet, and just kind of funny how those weather systems work. Last night, I live about 16 miles east of the station here, and I got up to about 2.5 inches of snow, and we had more to the east of us and south of us yet towards the Twin Cities. And when I got to the station here, I thought, I'm going to have to shovel again this morning. And I got here, and about 5 miles away, the snow line stopped, and there was no snow whatsoever. So I got out of it today.
Wow. Yeah, we didn't get any snow.
Okay, so just an isolated patch there in middle of Minnesota last night. So.
Sure.
Oh, very good. Gary, it's been a long time since we talked to you. Can you give us a brief, bring us up to speed, how you got started and where you're born and raised, and, of course, mom and dad, and a little bit about the family and all of that?
Sure. Yeah. So this actually, this year actually marks my 40th year in the business. I started when I was 9 years old in 1982, and the band, the Ridgeland Dutchman, actually last year would have celebrated their 50th anniversary of the start of the band. And with COVID and things going on, we decided we didn't throw a big party. I was hoping to, but we didn't. And we still have one original surviving member of that original band, and that's my dad, Willard. He's going to be 92 in June. He lost, his sister Angie, who was the accordion player with my grandfather, and then when the Ridgeland Dutchman started in 71. And so Dad's the last surviving member of the band. And then March 1st of 2020, he played his last actual gig with us. That was in eastern Wisconsin, and then COVID shut things down. And then Dad said, well, if things get rolling again, he says, I can't do full gigs anymore. But he'll come and he's still doing well. Him and mom, they go out and play cards. And if we're playing in the area, he'll come out and sit in on a tune or two or a few sets. And he still has it for an hour. He can't do a full gig. And so now with Dad not playing, I've been utilizing my father-in-law on bass guitar. Depending on the gig, utilizing Frank Galeski from this area near Trumbull, north of La Crosse. He plays with my cousin Brian frequently, most of the time, and he plays with Boostas and a number of other bands, but we're lucky to have Frank in the area. Tony Kaminsky I've used. Out in Minnesota, I've used Gary Bagenstos, Bud Schrader, Gary Schrader, Bob Schrader. Dan Retka is going to be playing a lot of the gigs out there with us this year. We're playing Glencoe, we're playing Le Sueur, and then we're playing Stiftungsfest, and then in September we're going to be coming up to the cities and doing the Polka Spotlight, the TV taping up there.
Oh, yes.
And so, yeah, we, you know, so just a few changes in the last couple years. We've had some personnel changes. My wife is now playing piano with us, and then our 11-year-old son, Mason, he's our drummer now.
Wow.
And yeah, and then do you have our last CD, Smiles Are Made Out of Sunshine?
I do. Yes, we do.
Okay, so Maddie, yesterday was her 8th birthday, so that album would have been, it's a 4-year-old album in July when we released it. And so she had just turned 4 and got over a cold when she recorded Waltz of the Angels on that recording.
Ah, neat.
And, so she comes along and frequently comes up and sings with the band. And we're working on some new stuff for this year, possibly some new recordings. We're going to try and do a new gospel Christmas album along with a regular band album to kind of, you know, we're still doing a lot of the same songs, just might have a different feel with the bass guitar versus the tuba, and or my electronic. I put electronic bass on my concertinas, and I'll use that on occasionally for certain gigs as well. So so we'll go anywhere from 2-piece up to 4-piece, and we're just out doing what we can do while we can.
That's right. And you've lived through the changes just like I have, maybe a little younger than I am, but you go back a long ways. And boy, we go back to the days of the big dances and the big dance halls to now you just do what you can to entertain whatever the crowd will bear or what the, you know, the market will pay.
Yeah. And you know, we've been lucky. We had some really nice, fun gigs last year after COVID and getting back out there, and we kept the kids safe. You know, everybody was vaccinated and they were masking during school, and we're thankful our school district, everybody was, you know, nobody went to the school board and threw a fit and this and that. It's like, you know, you don't know if you don't know a specific family or what that family is going through, there's no need to pick on them or tell them how to live their life. And so thankfully we were able to keep our kids healthy and safe at those gigs and monitored how they were around people and us too for that matter. But we had some really great times and a lot of return gigs for this year too, so you know, we're feeling blessed and fortunate for that.
Absolutely, that's great. Now, Gary, I don't recall, and I'll ask you again from the last time, and it's been quite a while. Do you make your living on the music, or do you have a day job too as well?
No, I do have a day job. I work as a customer service, customer account coordinator, they call us now, for an organic dairy company here in Wisconsin, and we ship worldwide.
Uh-huh.
And so I handle food service customers along with a couple of retailers, but otherwise I handle our export orders anywhere from the Caribbean islands out to Trinidad to Bermuda to Singapore, you know, all over the world.
So I
help handle those orders.
Boy, and that becomes challenging when that's a full-time business, and then you enter in what's nearly a full-time band business, a second occupation, and try to make them both balance and work. Schedules and everything gets to be a
right.
challenge.
It does, and it can be, no lie. And then with it's nice having the built-in drummer and piano player, so when we want to practice, we can just set up the equipment and run through a few tunes or practice some new stuff with Madeline on the vocals, and it works out pretty well. So,
okay.
But yeah, it does have its challenging moments. You know, it doesn't go as smooth as we all wish it does and would, but you know, it's part of the business and part of being a family, and you know, you regroup and try it again, and then it works.
So, absolutely. You know. And then on top of it, the kids and the ages that they are, they have their school and activities as well to fit into the schedule. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's for sure.
But, you know, so many people have always said being busy is not a bad thing. I mean, It seems like those people that are idle and don't have a lot of things going on, it seems like the devil seems to enter into their life. And those people that are busy and taking every opportunity, I don't know, things seem to go well for them.
Right, right. Yeah, and the way things are right now, I mean, people need to stay positive and, you know, just getting back to having compassion. I remember back in the day when you could vote your way and this person could vote their way and they could have a nice conversation and speak their piece and agree to disagree and go and laugh and have a drink together. And it's like people have just thrown out the compassion and just, you know, it's hard. It's hard to stay positive when you see that all of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just wish the best for everybody. And we don't, you know, like when I'm at a gig, that's my altar. That's my sacred space. So I don't want to talk politics or any of that crap. I just want to, let's just go out and have fun and let's let our troubles go and just let's just go and have a good time and a nice day. You know, that's what we're there for.
I couldn't agree with you more, Gary. The one thing that I really like to stay away from on the radio is religion and politics. You can't win.
Yeah.
You'll never win at those two subjects.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, I don't know if you're on Facebook a lot or not, but you see people speaking their mind and speaking their piece and they're trying to get the other one. It's like, well, we know which way you're going. We know which way you're going. There's no sense in bickering over it.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah,
no,
that's right.
If that's what you want to do, that's great. You know? I'm with you totally on that. Yeah.
You bet. And no, I'm not on Facebook. I'm of that older generation. I've just refused to try to learn that technology. But talking about radio and technology, let's jump over on that subject for a little bit. You're a radio guy yourself. For a number of years, you've been on the air on various stations. Tell us a little bit about that.
Actually, I'm not. I haven't done radio now for a couple of years, probably since the last time we talked.
Really?
I haven't had a chance to do it. I've had offers, you know, to bring a show out, but it's just trying to find the time.
Yeah.
And now that things are settling down, I think I could probably do it. About a year ago, we had major water damage in the house from a dishwasher episode, and so that set us out about 3 or 4 months of a reconstruction of stuff we didn't plan on doing.
Yep. Always those curves that get thrown at you in life.
Yeah.
Sure.
Kids were unsettled for a while, so they were back and forth between here and our in-laws, or my in-laws with my wife's family, and homeschooling, and you know, virtual learning and stuff at that time. So,
sure.
And then when the summer hit, and then we were finally able to move back into the house around June, July. So, you know, it all came together, but it took a while, and it was stressful. But the kids were champs, and we went and played some gigs and got our mind off of things. And we've been fortunate to know a lot of people who were there, you know, the sending prayers and everything. And it was great. We really appreciated all.
You bet. Well, Gary, if we can hold that thought for just a moment, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Going to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you and continue the conversation, if that's all right.
Sure, sounds good.
All right, so greetings from the St. Joe Meat Market. And Lent continues, and the St. Joe Meat Market has a lot of meatless ideas for you. So in the grocery department, you'll find breakfast cereals, pancake mix, waffles and syrup, maybe a cheese pizza. In the seafood department, you'll find cooked shrimp, salmon, pollock, walleye, cod, herring, some breaded fish fillets, and once again, our smoked salmon. Yes, so good. And don't forget the eggs and cheese. The St. Joe Meat Market handles a wide variety of cheese from several different dairies, including Crystal Farms, Welcome Dairy, Dymox from South Dakota, and Bongard's. My favorite flavor? Well, it's the horseradish cheese. Yum. Some good stuff for sure. Looking at the calendar, St. Patrick's Day is just, a week away, a little over a week away. Always a fun day at the St. Joe Meat Market. As always, for more in-store specials, like us on Facebook, check us out on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913. And we thank you from the St. Joe Meat Market. Gary, for being our guest on the show, and you've been here before, and know how it works. We're going to put up a nice meat package once again for you. Send that off priority mail along with Chasm. We hope that you and your wife and the kids there, everybody enjoys it in good health. How is that for you?
Well, really, really appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. No, we're looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the Braunschweiger.
Okay, and glad you mentioned that. We were so fortunate to receive a national recognition. We entered it in our national competition, all the markets across the states. And I think we picked up a second place award just a couple years back. And that's some pretty high competition. So we're very proud of that. And you're one of the few that requests a Braunschweiger in the meat package, I have to tell you. And that's pretty special. You know, it's a little bit of a story. Back in the day, and I worked with my dad. I was going to mention that earlier when you were talking about having your dad in the band. It's something special to work with your dad, to be in good terms and have that opportunity to work all those years. I worked side by side with my dad at the meat market making sausage for 29 years. And then, of course, he was a drummer as well. So we got to play on stage with some of the various bands around Minnesota over time, too, as well. And so that was very special. But the one thing my dad mentioned, and he was up in the years a little bit towards the end of his career, and he mentioned to me one day, you know, I'd always wanted to make Braunschweiger. And I said, why don't we, Dad? And he said, well, I don't have a recipe. I don't have anything. So I took the initiative to call a spice company, get a procedure for making it, and got the recipe and the seasoning. And so we made it, and he made a lot of batches of Braunschweiger yet in his life. And boy, that was one that really tickled him. He was so proud of that, and I still remember that to this day. It's a neat, and it's a good seller at the meat market as well. So yeah, I'm glad you
fantastic.
Like it.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, yeah, I'm looking forward to it for sure.
You bet. And yeah, isn't it special, Gary, and talking about your dad, isn't it special to look over there and work with, you know, your dad? And I mean, when you were little, you looked up to him, everything. And then now as the years go by, kind of the roles reverse. You're the leader of the band, and he, you know, goes with what you decide. And it's just really special, though, I think.
It is. Yeah, it's when I look back at the last 38 years, when 38 years, Dad and I were able to share the stage and then, you know, go through the changes we did. And then when Mason came on, you know, 3-4 years ago and started traveling with us, 5 years ago, he started traveling with us before he gigged, before he played drums with us, and, you know, put him and Dad together, and they were just like two peas in a pod, like two kids in a candy store. You had to separate them after a while. You
know? that's pretty neat.
So, yeah, so he was playing on stage with his son and his grandson. So,
he had
a special moment there, and I look at the times now and sharing the stage with my wife, who she was classically trained as a piano player and not really a polka musician. So, but she knows the music, so that helps. But, you know, she really worked hard, and when people weren't making it, then I'm scrambling to find a person to fill in. And she's like, well, let's just work on it. I'm like, all right. And that's how she came onto the band. And she's doing really a nice job. Just simple, nice rhythm, just plays perfectly. And Mason's doing a great job on drums with the different styles. Cause we do not only the Dutchman, the German, but the Czech, and then there's a little bit of Slovenian. And then we throw some Polish in there. He's covering it all. And then some of the American country two steps that we're doing, and Maddie, she's listening to a little bit of everything and learning some new songs, and it's easier now that she knows how to read. When she was younger and had to memorize everything, it was a little tougher. Now I can put the charts on my tablet and she can read them while we're singing, you know, and it's great. So a lot easier working out tunes with her.
Absolutely. And talk about playing a little bit too, Gary. I've played concertina through my life. Took 5 years of lessons with Betty Wolf and did some gigs and things like that. Boy, when you've got a good drummer and a good tuba player back there, doesn't it make it easy playing?
It does. It really, really does. There's been times where you get to a gig and it's a struggle all night, and then you get to the next gig and you have the other musicians back or a different one that maybe has worked with you and it's really, you know, really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that you go through the years, and not that the other musician was horrible or terrible by any means. It just, you try to get them to fit your style, but yet have them do their own thing.
Yep, and, exactly.
And as long as everybody's on the same page and we got to make sure that the people are happy and dancing and able to dance and not get tired, you know, that's the big one. And like I said last year, we were really fortunate and we're looking forward to a nice 2022 hitting the road and playing a lot of return gigs from last year and some new gigs this year for us. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good year.
You practiced a lot during COVID to keep yourself sharp when you didn't have a lot of work, or how did things go for you?
Yeah, you know, when COVID started shutting things down, we wanted to kind of let the people know how we were doing. So we started doing some videos, and we put them out on Facebook and then also on YouTube. And then a friend in France, him and his dad, his name is Tony, and his dad, Patrick, they're both musicians over there. They play bandoneon, which is like a concertina.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony, his son, is probably mid-20s. He's always wanted a concertina. Well, he finally got one. And so we teamed up with him on a few videos. So, yeah, we were doing a lot of practicing, and then water damage happened, so we had to wait for the basement to get put back together. And now we're doing a lot more practicing with some of the gigs we got coming up. And like I said, we want to put some new tunes together for the year and also work on some recordings. So when they become available, we'll make sure to let you know.
Very good. We appreciate that. Concertinas, what are you playing these days? Still the same ones or anything new, or what have you got?
Yeah, well, I still have my 1962 C Hangles, I should say, with the S.
Uh-huh.
That was number 50 from Christie. And then I had a B-flat Lucas built by Fritz Lucas.
Yeah.
And then that actually got totally lost in the water damage last year.
Oh, no.
So we didn't have proper or correct insurance on things. So people found out. Now we have that all squared away. But a lot of people around the world, around the United States, chipped in and donated to the cause. And now I have a newer. It's a 2014 B-flat Hangel, a Jerry Menar Hangel.
Uh-huh.
So I have a C Hangels and a B-flat Hangel that Jerry was. He had an E-flat and a E-flat with a low octave musette. And you wanted to make it a project box, and he made it into a B flat, and he really did a nice job. And it was hard because I had a few others on the hook, but none of them were going to be ready, and I had 4 to 5 months of borrowing boxes, and I was tired of loaning boxes, which I was deeply, deeply grateful for, that we had friends step up and say, no, you can play mine until you don't need it anymore.
Sure.
And which was great. And like Bob Novak from the Echo boxes, he had one for me to loan. Josh Selner got my C back into shape. It didn't need a lot of work. And then Jerry Menar, of course, let me borrow a box or two. It would have been tough to get through the gigs we had without those folks stepping up to the plate. So Jerry Menar, Josh Selner, Bob Novak, three guys that I hold high respect for and really appreciate what they did for us.
That's such a great story. I've over time doing this show, it just time and time again, you hear musicians, it just seems like we're a worldwide family. I mean, there's everybody, sure. Everybody just has feeling for one another. So it's good to hear.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. It was very, very overwhelming when people were helping us out. We're not used to, you know, that happening to us, and a lot of people have seen the family growing up with the videos we were putting out, and they wanted to help.
You bet.
And it was, like I said, just very heartwarming and overwhelming at the same point, you know. But we're, you know, super, super thankful, and we'll forever be thankful and grateful to everyone who did that and who still comes out to see the band and supports us, and we're just. Just forever grateful.
You bet. When we were talking about radio, and when you were doing radio shows, what type of radio did you do? Did you produce a program, or was it interactive where people would call in with requests, or what type of show did you have back in the days, Gary?
Well, back in the day, yeah, it was a live show similar to what you're doing.
Okay.
And then I was program director at a station for a while and did my polka shows. A lot of them, because of the band schedule and when the shows would air, I would do them live as much as I could. A lot of them had to be pre-recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the later years, a friend of mine recently bought a station in northern Wisconsin, kind of up in that Ellsworth area, if you remember the Ellsworth Polka Fest.
Yes, I do.
Okay, he owns a station south of there in Durand, Wisconsin. I was doing a show for him, and then it got to be too much where I was recording it and then I have to email it up. And it was fine, but it was, like I said, just getting to be a little bit much.
Right, so, right.
Just kind of get out of it, but I've been missing it. So it'd be fun to do a show now again with the kids and stuff like that. But when I was recording them, I would try to, or even live, I would try to do interviews with different people when I could, and I would tape them during the week and then drop the interview in throughout the whole show.
Oh, okay.
And that was my featured artist for the day.
Sure, sure.
And you know, I even got to interview Daniel O'Donnell one time.
Oh, you did? Wow.
He was coming to the Dells, and I happened to reach out, and he was all game, and I'm like, wow, cool.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And he was no problem with it, you know, and just a lot of different guys through the years I've interviewed. Back in the day, I used to interview Syl 3 or 4 times, and we used to have some good shows with Syl. Oh, that was fun.
Absolutely. Speaking of Syl Ebel, that was what I was going to ask you next. Mention some of the bands that you looked up to over the years as you were growing as a musician. Who did you like to go see, and who did you like to listen to?
Growing up, it was Syl, Carl, the local band Wayne Solberg.
Yep.
He was here in the area.
Yep.
And then of course Six Fat, Whoopi, Larry Rashavi, Irwin Cease, Jerry Schuft, Earl Schmidt, the Lumberjacks, Bob Brenny, Leon Olson, Larry Olson, Marv Nissel, Elmer Scheid, you know, the Dutch Meisters, you know, it just goes on because all of them, all of them were contributors to what a lot of us are doing now. You know, we may have taken little bits and pieces from each one of those.
Sure,
and,
sure.
Kind of incorporated. You know, and then I flipped the dial and I listened to some Slovenian. So, you know, anywhere from Yankovic to Meisner to Roger Bright,
yep.
Klanik, Rodick, you know, and then the Polish style. There's Lenny Gamolka, Marian Lush, Eddie Blazonczyk.
You know, all of them.
Wonderful Polish style bands out there that I've become friends with a lot of them. So
yeah, yeah.
On all of those spectrums, and it's just something that we do, and we would like to be a little bit different. Yeah, we could, you know, we could try to have this sound or that sound, but this way we've got kind of our own unique style and a way of performing and giving it our own little twist, I guess, you know.
Well, and you were mentioning some of the bands there. The one that I didn't hear come through, and you actually played with them some, Ray Dorschner and the Rainbow Valley Dutchman.
Oh, yes. Well, see, there you go. Yeah. See, I'm getting old. I have to write this stuff down.
No.
But yeah, Ray Dorschner was a huge, huge, oh my gosh. Every time growing up, I first heard that band in 1981, June of 1981 at a fest that we recorded it. And I think every time we'd either see them or play next to them, we had a tape recorder along to capture them live.
Oh, yeah.
So that way, when the chance came for me, because I'm not a reader. I can read some stuff, but I'm not a strict reader.
Yep.
And so that way I knew a lot of those songs and where the box parts were and how they went. And so it was a fun transition to work with a band like Ray. That was cool.
And personalities. You talk about personalities in a band. Jens Jensen, I know him a little bit, and of course Randy, you know, he's as straight as they come, and then Ray was just full of the Dickens, and well, they had Wellesley back there on drums sometimes, and I don't know who all else in the band there, but boy, and then put you in the mix, and I mean, they had Keith Swack for a while playing concertina, was great, and I heard Corey Miller did some time with him. So,
yep.
I mean, great concertina players. Ray had a knack for getting the best quality musicians, and it must have been a tough library from what I hear from the musicians, but boy, they love to play it. They love the challenge, huh?
Absolutely. Actually, it's funny because the concertina charts were actually written pretty simple. It was the horn parts and the horn arrangements and the key changes that were a little more intricate that got a little more of the power and the gas going in the whole engine. But if you could get that concertina solo right before that big key change that would knock you right between the eyes, boy, that was. And then Jimmy and I were, God rest his soul, and Ray rest his soul as well. You know, Jimmy and I I wouldn't even have to look at him, and it would just happen at the end of the solo, right before the bang of that big key change, you know. And
yep.
Just little things like that, that was just so special. And you think back to that, it's like, wow, yeah, I was kind of part of that. That was pretty cool.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. And you know, that they are just an example of how precious life is and how short it can be. I mean, Ray, you know, he was up in years when he died, so it was somewhat expected. But when I got the call that Jim had passed away just some short time later, boy, that one just about knocked me off my feet. I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no, and that one was hard for all of us. It still is to this day. Jimmy played with us 2 months right before he passed. We were playing a wedding dance in eastern Wisconsin, and Dad wasn't up to traveling, so Jimmy played it with us. And it was right after Ray had passed and was buried, and Jimmy said, no, I want to play it. It's musical therapy for me.
Yep.
And he was Jimmy. He was Jimmy. In fact, I've got it recorded on my phone. I rolled a recording, and then our drummer at the time was Jeff Lang, and then he rolled a video of Dig That Crazy Oompa Man right at the end of the gig.
Oh.
And showed Jimmy's personality, and then he was going to work a couple other gigs on that side of the state, it was about a month later he had kind of a mini stroke in July at his home.
Yep.
But it wasn't major. And then first part of August, then he started sliding downhill. And then mid-August is when the big stroke took him. And, yeah, he was mid-50s, you know. And sad time right there. Just my heart goes out to his wife, Lisa, and all the kids because they're just a wonderful family.
Oh, absolutely. And for listeners just joining in on our conversation here, I should mention that we're talking about, we're visiting with Gary Brigham of the Ridge and Dutchman, but talking about your experience with the Ray Dorschner Band and his son, Jimmy Dorschner, just a fantastic tuba player and great personality. And I never did get a chance to get him on the radio show. And it's just an example of, boy, you just can't wait too long because you never know when you're going to miss an opportunity.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If there's been somebody you've been thinking about, you make that phone call or you send them an email or however you communicate.
Yep.
And just touch base with them because there's been a few times, and especially now with COVID and our loved ones who have passed, and you just wish you could have that time back and wish you could have communicated with them at some point just to say, hey, how are you? You know, just kind of catch up when you can. And that's been the nice thing with lately I've been able to do with a number of friends. And one is Keith Zwack. He and I have gotten back in touch and been communicating again. And I think back to the Gibbon days and the guys I used to hang out with and run around with, and hard. Some of us still speak, and others, it's hard to find enough hours in the day to communicate with them.
Exactly. And last you heard, how's Keith doing? I know he's had some health issues, a little bit of something in the hands. Is it fibromyalgia or something?
Something like that. Yeah, he is playing a little bit.
His left
thumb at around the house.
Okay.
His left thumb is kind of giving him some trouble, but you know, his right hand is still quick as ever, so he's still able to play. So, yeah.
And a guy like that, I mean, he can play even now, still make some of us that, you know, we never did get to that level. And, man, you just think that's just wrong what he does. I mean, I love his recording of Artistry and Polka, Climbing the Beehive. My gosh, that guy.
Yeah.
It's just not humanly possible in my world.
No, I'm with you. Or even he does While You're Away Waltz.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote that out. And obviously when you're playing concertina, you're using three fingers in your pinky.
Yep.
And he's got five-note chords written, so you're hitting two notes with one finger.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah. It's just incredible. And,
yep.
And probably one of the most underrated box players ever.
Yes.
I mean, And, you know, he and I have sat and talked where I'm more of a play-by-ear and he's more of a play-by-note guy. But when and that's fine because he plays it unbelievably well.
Oh, he does.
So clean and just, yeah, I could sit there and say, Keith is just a, and he's a great guy. Just
yes.
A super, super person, a human, and I'm honored to call him a friend because, we both have admiration for each other and there's like many other box players, like Larry Rashavi.
Oh, yeah. Another great personality.
Years. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Irwin Cease. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
He was so kind when I started out playing many years ago. And,
yep.
And Irwin was so instrumental. Him and Larry were probably the biggest. And Carl and Brian.
Influences.
And influences and gave me a chance to get up and play.
Yeah.
So those four are probably the biggest one. And I'll go back to Larry Olson at Gibbon.
Yeah.
Gibbon one year. I was playing in the concertina jam in the tent, and I didn't know Larry. And he came up and said, hey, come up to the ballroom and come and jam with us. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. and so I've always got a soft spot in my heart for Larry Olson as well. And Marv Nissel, we met through the years too. So many guys from Minnesota just were so kind and gracious with me being a young guy at the time and just letting me come up and play and it's been a great 40 years. And
you bet.
I'm excited to see where the next number of years go and how they take us. And,
you bet.
You know, keep us all safe and healthy. That's the big one with the family. And
absolutely. Well, Gary, our time has about run out. I usually ask, at this time, at the end of the show, if you've got a special memory, an event, or anything, good, bad, or otherwise, that's happened to you over your career that you'd want to share with the listeners. Of course, our interview has been one nonstop story this morning. But do you have something special that you'd want to share with the listeners yet at this time?
It's been fun, the last 40 years sharing the stage with my dad, and then obviously COVID stopped us for a while, and now sharing the stage with my family, which is how the band started, with my grandfather back in the day, and then after he passed in 71. So I they're all special moments, whether we're traveling to or from a gig and something cool happens, or we get to see something, or somebody's at a gig, a couple weeks ago, last weekend, as a matter of fact, we were playing in Iowa for the Czech Mosopust. It's the Czech Mardi Gras before Ash Wednesday.
Okay.
And a gentleman came up, and he was from Austria, but he was Czech and Slovenian. And very little English, but his name is Joseph. And it turns out he's a major, major entertainer over in Europe. We'd had no clue.
Okay.
And he was complimenting the kids, and he was just very complimentary to the band the whole night. And come to find out, here he is of this stature over in Europe, and so that was pretty special here as of late. But so many gigs have something that happens, big or small, that still makes it a unique gig. So like last year playing the Pioneer Power Show for the first time, that was special. Coming back to Stiftings Fest this year is going to be special. It's just anytime we can see our friends and family and stuff at gigs, especially, that's always special for us. So that we just really appreciate the support, continued support as the band has evolved through the years. And we're just, like I said, and I'll continue to say it, we're just forever grateful. We may not get to see and say that to everybody at a gig, but please know in our hearts, we truly adore all of the people that come and support the band and the family, especially watching them grow up. Yeah, the whole thing is unique, and we're in a unique business and a special business, so we get to try and spread happiness and cheer as much as we can when we can.
I'll just
you on your show every weekend.
You bet.
Everything you're doing.
Well, and I will just share with you too that I think the only time I ever got to see you in person was some years back. You came into Central Minnesota. A good friend, Merle Felling, had
Sox Center.
Yes, in Sox Center at the high school there. And he's done that for a lot of years, and we've been to a lot of those shows. And boy, oh boy, you guys really kind of stole the show that year. You know, a concert venue is a little tougher to play when you've got people dancing and you get that, you know, the feet shuffling across the floor. From my experience, it's always been so much easier playing. But when you're playing in a concert hall, and when the music stops, everybody's quiet unless they clap or applaud. But you know, it's awkward at first for musicians, and you guys made the crowd feel so at home. And with you playing the concertina and the button box, and it was just a great performance that time, as I recall.
Oh, really appreciate it. Yeah, Merle and the gang, they've been super, super kind to us as well. And he's called to try and get us out there, but it's tough with kids in school.
Yeah.
By the time we'd get done out there and get home at midnight and then get them up for school the next day, it gets to be a little bit tougher. So that's been a hard one to get back out there for, unless we would work something out with the school to have
sure.
the kids come on, you know, take a day off or something.
Sure,
but
sure.
Maybe at some point we'll do that as they get a little bit older and you know, we can arrange something. But no, I appreciate it. We've tried to do our best through the years to play a little bit of everything. You know, you're not going to please everybody, but you're going to do your best to try and, you know, play something that everybody knows and keep it familiar. And that's been what we've been trying to do. So.
Absolutely. Very good. Well, our time is up, Gary. We want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for joining us on our Musicians Come and Play program. And like I've told you in the past, if good Lord's willing that you and I are still here down the road sometime, we'll do it again. How's that?
That sounds great. So I really appreciate it. To all the listeners, stay safe and well. And thanks so much.
All righty. With that, I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment. Have a great afternoon, Gary.
You too.
Thanks, all right. Bye. There he goes, Gary Brigham, our 412th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by Gary Brigham and his Ridgeland Dutchman off of some of his various CDs. You'll enjoy it just in a moment. Larry Razavian is Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up our 412th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And Gary Brigham, our guest from Westby, Wisconsin, is where he's actually at now these days. And boy, they one of the classic bands in polka music, still playing polka music. And we're going to start things out with Gary Brigham and his original Dutchman. And this one comes off of one of their later recordings. It's one called the Uncle Otto's Polka. ¶¶ Gary Brigham and his Ridgeland Dutchman. Great polka tune there. I love that one. One called Uncle Otto's Polka. 24 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. We're at 27 degrees here in central Minnesota. It's waltz time with the Ridgeland Dutchman, Gary Brigham, and it's one called Cottage Under the Mountains. Gary Brigham and his Ridgeland Dutchman, beautiful recording there of the Cottage Under the Mountains Waltz. Here's a nice polka tune. I believe it's a concertina solo, and Gary does a great job on it. One called Bobby's Polka. Thank you. Boy, he can sure get around that concertina box on those keys there. Bobby's Polka, Gary Brigham and his Ridgeland Dutchmen. 19 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Temperature reading is at 27 degrees here in central Minnesota. In the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and what's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours, Jeannie Bonfig and the gang over at Freeport there. And yes, Jeannie just sending me a text message that they had their meet and greets the past few days, some in Sauk Center, Freeport, St. Joe, all over. And she said very, very successful. Lots of reservations were made. So I need to encourage you to make your reservation soon if you plan on traveling with Jeannie. People should not wait. Call Jeannie B's now. Spring and summer and fall trips are already starting to fill. So just wanting to you to know that. And so that phone number, I'll give you that here in just a moment. I need to scroll back and find it. There it is. Jeannie B's Tours, write this down, 320-345-1581. 320-345-1581. They have a whole lineup of trips planned for this summer. And, of course, like Jeannie said, some of them are full already, but still some to fill. And you can check them out in one of the papers. The name of the paper, Country Acres, or one of those, escapes me. But she usually puts an ad in there, and you can see the full lineup of trips that Jeannie is doing this summer and fall. And fun group to travel with, I have to tell you. We went to Medora last summer with Jeannie and Art, her good friend, and also Estelle. And boy, they make that trip lots of fun. Things that you don't find probably on a regular trip. So like homemade cookies and just all sorts of door prizes and perks that you won't find on your regular bus trip. Jeannie makes it fun, and she's been around the block. She knows what it takes to keep folks interested and entertained. So yeah, make that reservation today. Give her a call. She'd love to hear from you. And again, her phone number, 320-345-1581. Jeannie B's Tours, Jeannie Bonfig, out of Freeport, Minnesota. Make that call today. They proudly bring us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Getting back to the old-time music of Gary Brigham and the Ridgeland Dutchmen, pretty polka tune here, one called the Gypsy Polka. Thank you. Gary Brigham and his Ridgeland Dutchman, nice arrangement of the Gypsy Polka. They do a nice arrangement here, a nice two-step number, one called the Red Satin Shoes.
Shoes. Look at me now, I'm going dancing in my red satin shoes. I ain't got the blues no more. I thought that I could never be so happy as can be. I just wish I had all my friends dancing here with me. Sun's gonna shine now that I'm wearing my red satin shoes. I ain't got the blues in my red satin shoes. Look at me now, I'm looking for love in my red satin shoes. I ain't got the blues no more. Ah, hey. Look at me now, I'm going dancing in my red satin shoes. I ain't got the blues no more. I thought that I could never be so happy as can be. I just wish I had all my friends dancing here with me. Sun's gonna shine now that I'm wearing my red satin shoes. I ain't got the blues in my red satin shoes. Look at me now, I'm looking for love in my red satin shoes. I ain't got the blues no more. Here we go now.
Gary Brigham and his Ridgeland Dutchman, one called the Red Satin Shoes. Nice, nice two-step number there. Staying with that color theme, the Red Apple Polka coming your way next. Thank you. And there you have it, the Red Apple Polka with Gary Brigham and his Ridgeland Dutchman. Another nice two-step number, one called Have I Told You Lately? And his Ridgeland Dutchman. Nice, easy listening. Nice two-step number. Have I Told You Lately? 7 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, 27 degrees here in central Minnesota. Time for just a couple more selections with the Ridgeland Dutchman. Here's probably my all-time favorite Ridgeland Dutchman polka tune, one called the Wamandi Polka. Gary really gets going on this one. Thank you. Yeah, great tune there, the Wamandi Polka, Gary Brigham and his Ridgeland Dutchman. As we come up on 3 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock and 27, our temperature here in Albany, time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for dancing feet. We're going to do that with a great old-time waltz, one called the Apron Waltz. There you have it, the Apron Waltz, Gary Brigham and his Ridgeland Dutchman, wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for dancing feet here on KASM.